Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 27, verses 1 through 8. When you have it, please say amen. Now let us hear in our reading. The daughters of Jehoshaphat, son of Hephna, son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, belonged to the clan of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of the daughters was Malkah, Noah, Hagla, Mishkal, and Tezah. They approached the entrance to the tent of meetings and stood before Moses, Ezra the priest, and the leaders and the whole assembly, and said, "Our father died in the desert. He was not among Korah's followers who band together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and had no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from the clan because he had no sons? Give us the property among our father's relatives." So Moses brought the case before God. And God said unto him, "What Zelophehad's daughters have said is right. You must certainly give them the property as an inheritance among their father's relatives and turn their father's inheritance over to them, saying to the Israelites, 'If a man dies and leave no son, turn his inheritance over to his daughters.'" Let us pray. God, I thank you for this hour and this time in history, God, that I might stand behind this sacred desk. Lord, that I might proclaim your word today, O God, to your waiting congregation. Lord, bless my voice. Lord, but hide me behind your cross, that I might bring forth the word that you have given me on today. And God, I shall forever give you the honor, the glory, and praise, because there's nobody like you, God. Lord, I give myself over to you at this hour. Use me, God, as you will. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If I was to tag our time together with a title this morning, it would be Women of Courage. This Sunday, we are in recognition of Women's History Month, a time when we seek to celebrate the accomplishment of women in our society, our culture, and our world. Right here among us are some history makers and those who are continuing to make history. Our foremothers and the great women of the church, this church has a story to tell. As we look to the future of our young adults and our upcoming female youth, are making history in some ways and have the potential to do great things. It is because of the tenacity and the determination of women in our years past that we as women can stand in some of the places that we stand on today. There are many who are celebrated and many who are not celebrated among us. The first woman to fly into space was a Russian woman by the name of Valentina Tereshkova in 1963. Followed by Sally Ride, in 1983. The first woman to run for president of the United States was in 1872, and her name was Victoria Claflin Woodhull. And the first African-American woman to run for president was none other than Shirley Chisholm in 1968. She went on to be the first woman to be elected to Congress in 1972. The first woman to receive a medical degree in the United States was Elizabeth Blackman. The first African American was Rebecca Lee Crumbler in 1883. These are some of the women who are very seldom mentioned, who have done great works for human and civil rights. Ella Baker, Diane Nash, Septima Clark, Daisy Bates, and certainly Dorothy Height. In memory of my late cousin, Rita McDonald Jones, who was the first African-American female in my hometown of Summerton, South Carolina, to graduate from an all-white segregated Summerton High School. Women have made many strides and have had great accomplishments in spite of the gender oppression they have had to face. For a more recent update, in just these last few years and months, we have had some women who have been movers and shakers in our entertainment industry. Shonda Rhimes is an African-American screenwriter and producer of Grey Anatomy and Private Practice and now The Much Watched Scandal. Jennifer Lee, the first woman to direct an animated feature film for Disney, won an Oscar this year. And certainly, Oprah Winfrey, the first woman to own her own television network. There are still many barriers to be broken. And thanks to the women like Jerena Lee, Bishop Vashti McKenzie, Bishop Millicent Hunter, Gina Stewart, and many others, the church barriers are coming down as well, women. Women are called to serve God in other ways than frying chicken, preparing communion, and making sure our children get a biblical education. All these are wonderful and noble works and much needed services in our church that we might move forward and be relevant. But God has said in his word in the Old Testament, in Joshua 2, and the New Testament, Acts 2, that he has poured out his spirit on all flesh, and they too shall prophesy. Today, I want to talk about women of great courage and how they stood up for their rights and how God stood with them. This story found in Numbers 27, verses 1 through 8, and it continues on, but I'm just doing 1 through 8 today, is about Jehoshaphat's five daughters. It sums up the challenges that women during biblical times and even sometimes today, and what they have to do in order to affirm their rights with dignity. Numbers 26 describes a census taken of all males over the age of 20. As part of this list, various tribes, the scripture says that Zelophehad has no sons, only daughters. When the census was completed, God instructed Moses, among these shall the land be allotted as shares. And among these referred to the men listed in the censers. Jehoshaphat's daughters were not counted in the censers. Therefore, they would not receive their father's allotment of land as an inheritance. We might expect that the women who were once victims of Egyptian slavery and then put under the law that frequently favored men might react by keeping silent, by accepting as natural as the rule dictated for them to follow. We might expect these women in those days to stay in their tents, remain out of sight, and not go far from their tribes and their families. So how and why is it that Jehoshaphat's daughters write a new chapter in history? Let us talk about it. First, they dared to go. They went out of their living place, from their social space, from their destiny imposed on them to stay in their place. The scripture says that the daughters of Jehoshaphat came forward. Women were not known to leave their place and secured surroundings without the aid and the assistance of men. Women were valued as property, valued as not much more than an animal. Women had no rights, therefore they need a covering of a man. Women had no voice and no power to make a decision. These sisters knew that they were more important than who they said they were. They were single and their father had died. They had no brothers, which meant no covering, no protection, or someone to speak on their behalf. You might ask, what does this have to do with us today? I don't know about you, but as a woman, I have experienced some of these gender biases in my time. You see, I've experienced it at the car dealership. I've experienced it at the car repair shop. And there are some situations. If a woman don't keep her head about her and keep it straight, know her rights and do her homework, she could find herself in a situation and being taken for a ride. Many, many years ago, I needed a new roof and some new gutters for my house. Knowing that I had to make this happen for myself, I did my due diligence and learned as much as I could about roof and gutter installations. Then I prepared a proposal that included all the elements needed to get the best roof and the best gutters installed on my house at a fair price. Then I sent the proposal out to various companies who had a reputation for great roof installations, including Hackensack Roofing and Sears. As each company rep came to make their response, they had their little spiel about what I needed and how long it would take and how much it would cost. One by one, I thanked them for coming, and I told them I would get back when I had evaluated each proposal that was presented. The first indignation I encountered, some spoken and some inferred, what do you know? How dare you not take my word that I can provide the best service for you? Next, it was, why do you need a proposal anyway? Where did you get this information from? And the worst response came from a subcontractor from Sears who said to me, where is your husband? I want to talk to him. And my response was, I don't have a husband, so you gonna talk to me. He was a chauvinist, and he refused to talk to me and walked out. But I want to tell you, I didn't stop there. I took my proposal and did what I needed to do with it. I found me the best installer of roofs and gutters and got it done at a fair price. You got to stand up for your rights, women. You cannot let somebody tell you what you can and cannot have. You got to know within yourself. Do your homework. Don't go half-stepping. Go straight. Go with it in your hand and know what you're talking about when you get there. Yes, it would have been nice to have a man there to make the contractors feel better. But when you don't have it, you work with what you got. And you get what you have to get through Almighty God. So dare to go out and get what you need. The second thing that they did, they dared to stand. The text says, as they stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the tribal chief, and the whole assembly at the entrance of the tent of meetings. Let us imagine this scene. The Israelites' camp is formed of tribes, each of whom had a determined place, with the tabernacle in the middle. And in the center stands the main authority figures, all of them men. Moses, the priest Eleazar, and the tribal leaders. As impressive and maybe even intimidating as the tabernacle and the leaders may have been, these five sisters decided to claim their rights anyhow. Together, they dared to go out of the tent, and without being called by anyone, to the place where only the high-ranking men congregated, to the place where the tablets of Sinai rested in the ark, to the place of holiness and authority, to the place where women didn't have any authority. These men must have been speechless when they saw these five women coming at them. First situation I'm sure they had ever seen. Imagine that. These women dared to leave their tents and go before those who had the power and authority to have them stoned to death. Imagine that. These women were willing to step out of their safety zone and stand for what they wanted. Imagine that. These women had tenacity enough to believe that they had a right, even though the law was written to say that they didn't. They had the attitude we should have. Laws are made, but laws can be changed. I didn't say broken, I said change. These women didn't call their uncles or their cousins or their friends. They dared to go. They dared to stand for what they believe because they had a right to. You should dare to go. You should dare to stand for what you believe because you have a right to. Had they waited for someone else to see their worth, they could have ended up in a loveless marriage hoping for covering an inheritance. They could have ended up slaving away for someone else, having nothing for themselves and no inheritance. They could have ended up where a lot of women often find themselves, destituted, homeless, and abused by anyone and someone. But this is not what these five sisters did. The third thing they did was they dared to speak knowledge and truth. You see, the text says in this word, our father died in the wilderness. He was not one of the company of the Quran group who banded against God, but died for his own sins, and he had no sons. Let not my father's name be lost to his tribe just because he had no sons. Give us a holding among my father's kinsmen. The daughters of Zelophehad were forward thinkers, modern women who went straight to the top. Let's look at what this text reveals about these five women. First, they knew the law and they knew their history. Second, they spoke truth about the situation. Namely, their father was not a rebellious man, getting him involved with those who were trying to overthrow God's people for control. Third, Why should their father's heir not receive his inheritance for God in the promised land because his heirs are daughters and not sons? Fourthly, they knew that the continuation of a family's name depended on the inheritance of the land. And they realized that the current law did not provide for their father's name or them because daughters didn't count in a culture, in this culture, and in the law. They had the wisdom to recognize this omission in God's law. They believed God to be just or intended to be just. They showed no hesitation in pointing out the unfair nature of the law as it is related to them and other women. They presented their claim with confidence and truth. We too have to stop looking for other people to speak for us. We too have to stop waiting for change if we're not willing to go, to stand, and speak for the change that we want. How does Moses react? The text says that Moses brought their case before God. Moses could have done what many people in power do today. Refuse to hear the other side. Refuse to acknowledge that change is something that is needed. Refuse to see someone else's situation, even though they know that suffering is associated with the way that it is now. They don't pray about it. They don't talk to anybody about it. They don't try to help those that are in need. That has not changed. The ones who are called to protect and make the law often forget about the least of these, forget the oath they took to serve, to forget the commitment to serve other people. Power in the wrong hands is a dangerous thing, but even more dangerously, it's a deadly thing. Moses revealed that he didn't know what to do about these sisters' claim as a rightful heir to the father's inheritance. So he took the case to God, who responded in complete support of the sisters' claim. And he even had Moses to tell the people, a new and permanent law has been given by God to secure the inheritance for any daughter in such circumstances. You see, these sisters' claim made history in a time when women had no rights. The willingness to die if they had to leave the law, a willingness to die if they had to leave the law of inheritance if they had not done what they've done. The law of inheritance would never have changed. These sisters had the key to success. Their full awareness of God's law and God's and the people's history and story. These sisters insisted on change by daring to go, daring to stand, daring to speak effective change in the laws and the traditions of their time. It's a great thing to stand for yourself and get the change you need. But it's an even greater thing to stand for change that is needed for others. Zelophehad's daughters were wise, and so are we. Zelophehad's daughters were strong, and so are we. They were determined, and so are we. They were history makers, and so are we. The lesson we learn as women, and men as well, from Zelophehad's daughters, it is our call to speak truth to power. It is our call to speak for what we have a right to. It is our call to follow in Jesus' footsteps and help others. It is our call to remember the brokenhearted, the oppressed, and the marginalized. Someone spoke up for quality education and decent schools one day. Someone spoke up for fair wages and equal pay for equal work. Someone spoke up for health care for everybody one day. What will you speak up for today? There's some things that we need in our country and in our world and in our culture that we're sitting here acting like it's not even happening. But I dare you today to stand up for something. I dare you to speak truth to power. I dare you to stand in somebody's face and say it's not going to be like this. Because the God I serve died for everybody. He promised us in his word that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He promised us in his word that he would never leave us out there in want. He said, I would prepare a place for you. Not only did he prepare a place for us, but he promised us that we would have life and have it abundantly. I don't know about you, but I'm willing to stand up for something today. Are you willing to write your congressman? Are you willing to stand up at City Hall? Are you willing to march if you have to march?
You, somebody has got to stand. We are powerful women. We can do anything. We have shown we can turn the world upside down. But yet we sit and wait for somebody else to do it. If I waited for somebody to fix my car, I'd be walking today. If I waited for somebody to help me to get to my job, I wouldn't have a job. You got to do what you got to do when you have to do it. We don't want to hear that. We want somebody else to do it. But who better than you? Who better than me? God did not waste his gifts and his talents that we might sit on them. He told us to get up and do what we're supposed to do. He said that the Lord had anointed him with power that he might go and teach and preach to those that were in need, that he might meet the needs of those who are without. God promised us in his word that he would help us to get through. That was his message to his disciples. Are we not his disciples? Are we not the ones that's supposed to do what God, what Jesus has illustrated and shown us how to do? Jesus stood up against every power. He stood up against the Roman Empire. He stood up against the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He stood up against everybody that said that everybody wasn't equal. He didn't care. He knew he was going to the cross. Some things are worth dying for. If we truly believe that there is a heaven and that God promised us that he has another life for us, why would we sit back and act like if we don't do it, something might happen to us? Don't we believe that God is able to keep us? You're going to die anyway. I got news brass for you today, a broadcast for you today. You didn't come here to stay, so you might as well make your time here worth something. I don't care so much about the history making as I care about the change making. I want to be a game changer. I want to be the one that stood for somebody and said that, and did what needed to be done at the time when it needed to be done. As Pastor said, we have lift up and stand in solidarity with children that are hungry. I had a sister in this church even tell us the children come to school in the morning right here in Hackensack, hungry and cannot get their work done because their mind is not where it should be. It's on their stomach that hurts because they're hungry. Can we not stand? Can we not, as mothers, as women, stand for these children? Can we not write a letter of petition to Congress and say, I want breakfast in the school? Can we start right there at City Hall in Hackensack? I'm not trying to be political. I'm trying to do what God has called me to do. Speak truth to power. So many people, not so many, but a number of people have come to me and says, I don't want to hear about social justice. And I don't want to hear about politics. I said, if it weren't for social justice and politics, you wouldn't be here. If somebody didn't speak about it, you wouldn't be here. If somebody didn't stand and march, you wouldn't be here. If somebody didn't give their life, you wouldn't be here. If somebody didn't hang from a tree, you wouldn't be here. If somebody didn't sneak behind a corner and learn how to read, you wouldn't be here. If somebody didn't go and let posers be let out on them, you wouldn't be here. If somebody didn't get attacked by dogs, you wouldn't be here. If my cousin didn't get spit on every single day, slapped and knocked around, I wouldn't be here. We got to learn how to be women of courage, powerful women of God, that we might do what God has called us to do. There's a call to take hold of our lives in our own hands and stop waiting for other people to give us what we need. We can complain all we want to complain. We can talk about who's not doing what, but if you're not doing anything, what difference does it make? We got to move from the place that others have given us. Nobody has a right to determine your destiny. We have to make a decision to keep on walking, even if it's to the most holy place, to where nobody seems to be able to go. After all, nothing is more sacred than life itself and the fight for what we believe that is worthy. We have to believe within ourselves that we have the ability to shape history, even to the point of being able to change even a law that came from the revelation of Mount Sinai. I say to you, I pay tribute to Zelophehad's daughters on today. The history makers, Tamagla, Noah, Hagla, Mishka, and Teza. They and many other courageous women who have followed in their footsteps. They came forward and opened up the future for all women, seeking to reclaim their rights and their inheritance to in a new and powerful way. There are some Maglas, there are some Noahs, there are some Haglas, some Mishkas, and some Tizas right here in Mount Olive. There are some history makers. There are some game changers, some law defenders, and some life restorers right here in Mount Olive. Women of courage, I dare you to go. I dare you to stand. I dare you to speak truth to power and claim what is rightfully yours to possess. Go forth, women, and claim what is yours, women of courage. Go forth and claim. Stand and speak the truth of the living God. And we shall come forth.